her mouth. She wants to ride it, she's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man looked like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but
you have likely seen the breaking news this morning, NFL related, that the Steelers are trading George Pickens to the Cowboys. I'm trying to read the compensation package.
So it was basically for a third round pick, and then they swapped fifth and sixth.
Yeah, swap a sixth for a fifth, but he is a third round in the 2026 NFL draft. I remember distinctly that we had people on the Carbless Talking text line who wanted George Pickens back in the day when the Packers were obviously still trying to bolster their receiving core, receiving room. And, you know, at the time, the report on Pickens was a bit of a malcontent, bit of a, you know, tough cookie to be around. And you heard the same things with the Steelers. So, Gabe, one, why are the Steelers moving on from a second round? He was a second round pick.
Mm-hmm.
And by all accounts, the numbers, still very talented.
The numbers were okay. They weren't standoff, like, oh, this guy's the best receiver in the league type numbers. Still very good.
But who's been throwing him the ball?
I mean, I think that factors in. That's certainly part of it. But if he's going to be a malcontent, that's not somebody they're going to want to ultimately pay. Like, that doesn't fit into what the Steelers' culture is, I think, long term. So they're getting out ahead of this. They're trading him now, getting compensation in return. And really, it kind of seems like to me they're okay with trading him now versus doing it before the draft and getting draft compensation this year. Because by all accounts, next year looks like a pretty good year for quarterbacks. As of right now, again, that could change between now and next spring. But if they're loading up, and they are loaded, they've got three or four third-round picks. They've got a couple of fourth-round picks, handful of fifth-round picks that they're loading up. And, you know, maybe they can move around to potentially go get a young quarterback in the draft next year. So this isn't somebody that they're going to want to pay. I'm guessing he's going to want more money than he's actually worth. So they've got DK Metcalf to replace him in their offense, and they're going to move on from there.
Move makes sense to you, Chu?
I think it tells us more about Aaron Rodgers than it does the move, because why wasn't this done a week ago? And I see your point, Gabe, about next year's probably a little better quarterback class, but they may be dumping players because they know Rodgers is not coming, or they may feel that he may retire, and trading for Kirk Cousins just doesn't feel like something Pittsburgh would do. So they want to dump cash, dump a problem before they have to pay him, and start maybe a rebuild.
Chewy, but I don't think this is somebody that would have gotten along with Aaron Rodgers. So I guess I don't look at it that way. Like, this is a dude who's not a crisp route runner, doesn't necessarily he's not exactly where he needs to be at all times, which is something that Rodgers wants of his receivers, and he demands the football a ton. Like, that doesn't seem like if Rodgers were to show up in Pittsburgh that these two would jive, and that would create, again, while you enjoy the drama, I don't know how much the Steelers would enjoy that drama.
Yeah, but does Rodgers really want to go and have another 5-12 or 5-13 type season? He probably would rather retire, and at least Pickens kind of gives him a shot. I mean, because most elite teams have two good receivers.
And sure, but I mean,
know what this leaves Pittsburgh with now.
This roster was still good enough to make the playoffs a year ago.
Yeah, but Gabe, I don't think trading for Pickens sweetens the pot for Aaron Rodgers. I don't think he says, oh, yeah, let's lose a number one and go with a number four receiver as the number two receiver.
Yeah, but Pickens is a two at best.
Well, let me ask you this, because I want to keep moving this forward. So George Pickens and CeeDee Lamb, where does that rank in the duos in the NFC?
I think it's pretty good because they're not similar type players. Where
sure.
I think Metcalf and Pickens are very similar.
Sure.
You know, like Gabe said, they're not great route runners. They're just big, bruising type, throw it up and let them go get it. Now they have a scatty guy in Lamb and a bigger receiver in Pickens. So
still not the best in their division.
So what do you think it ranks? Like, who's the top wide receiver duo in the NFC?
In the NFC, I would say Eagles are one. I would say Detroit is two. I mean, Cowboys, again, depends upon how happy Pickens is.
Were we putting Rams with Devontae?
Oh, crap.
Puka?
That's right.
And what about the Vikings?
Did you yeah, that's, what, that's, that's
what about, hold on. What about Tampa Bay, man? And they picked up Abuka, so they might have the best three. And they love Abuka
a lot of
here.
That. A lot of that depends upon how healthy Chris Godwin is, because his ankle injury was pretty tough.
But yeah. I think his point is, you got Evans, and now you got Abuka.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, I would still have Tampa. Okay, I think I'm going Philly, Detroit, Rams.
Minnesota?
Probably Minnesota next, just because Justin Jefferson's that good.
And
I would
Addison.
Say the Cowboys are five.
With Packers Pickens. So, but Pickens elevates them to five, right?
Yes.
Hold on, let's not sleep on Washington. They picked up Debo.
Washed.
All right, where do you put the Packers?
Okay, so that's you're doing a great job. This is exactly what I wanted to do. I wanted to bump, bop, 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 and bounce our way to
He's
Green
He's picking
Bay.
Up the breadcrumbs,
yes,
Jen.
Exactly.
We got a professional.
He's following along.
I'm AI. Call me Liquid AI.
I don't
what
know.
Like, me?
I mean, if that's what you want me to do, I'll do it.
Is it like liquid metal, like the T-1000? I'm trying to follow the bouncing ball here.
All right, just call Chewy the T-1000.
I had a friend of a friend of a friend called Liquid Johnny, and I think that's just an absolute great nickname.
It's not.
Liquid Johnny?
Mm-mm.
You don't think so?
No, it's not. But anyway, let's keep it moving.
Mustache.
So Packers is not there. I mean, again, we'll see how Matthew Golden does. And I know what you're doing is you're projecting Abuka for Tampa Bay. So you want to project Golden. But who's the two?
I mean, it's Reed. It's Jaden. He's been their leading receiver the last 2 years. And I know he kind of faded. But if Matthew Golden can be as good as we think he can be, I think everything, and it's going to be tough because year one, and maybe he just does. Maybe he comes out, maybe he has a Justin Jefferson type season. But if he can eventually develop into that number one, everything else just kind of falls into place behind it. Where, okay, you've got this number one. Now we know how we can use Jaden Reed and when he's out there on the field and Christian Watson when he's healthy. Everything else just kind of falls in line because they don't have that number one. So each week it's like, well, okay, they're going to run this kind of defense, so Dobbs is going to be our number one this week. Oh, this is a team that plays a lot of zone. We can really make sure we get Jaden Reed involved this week instead of having, hey, this is our one, this is our two, this is our three, and having everything kind of fall in line behind that.
So where do you put them? So you have in front of them, you got Dallas, Philly, you got Detroit, you got Minnesota, you have Tampa Bay, and you have the Rams. So where do they fit after that?
Is it?
This is just NFC, right? We're just doing NFC.
Just NFC, correct.
It feels like we would be giving a grade where we're just kind of stabbing it. Like Matthew Golden as we all hope would be the number one. Like we can't even, if he has 90 catches, then I probably rank him pretty high. If he has 47, it's like, yeah, well, he's a young guy, you know? It's hard to pick.
Yeah, like, again, if I'm not, as much as I would like to project, like, I would probably have them still chew last in the division because it's tough to project what Matthew Golden is going to be. Because DJ Moore and Rome Odunze are a better combo than what the Packers currently
and
have.
And they have Luther Burden, too.
Yeah, and then they go and get Luther Burden. So it's they could climb up that ranking if Matthew Golden's really good.
Yeah,
but I have a hard time saying, oh yeah, they're going to be able to catch this team or that team until we get to actual games to see what Matthew Golden's able to do.
And the other one I'm seeing here, and this is not to be a contender for the top five, but Malik Neighbors, Darius Slayton for the New York Giants. Now, is that better than what the Packers have?
Malik Neighbors is better than anything the Packers have.
Darius Slayton is not.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is all dependent. You know what? I want to see where they play Golden.
Who here's a fun
exercise.
Is he
going to play
exercise.
X or is he going to play Z?
I think it's going to change throughout the course of the season. I think they want him as their X. I don't know if he's going to start there. Who are the Packers better than in the NFC? Can we definitively say their wide receiver core is better than?
New Orleans, Carolina.
New Orleans has Chris Olave.
Eh,
Rashid Shaheed was pretty fine.
I mean, Arizona's got
pretty fine. That's a fun one.
I was gonna say pretty good, but then that felt like a too much of a compliment. He made some big plays.
Elevated casuals that we have there.
Yeah, you're right.
I mean, what does Seattle have left?
After getting rid of DK, I don't know.
No,
again, Jackson Smith and Jugba is really good, but yeah. if we're doing duos,
I believe they drafted a young guy, so they sort of have an incomplete there.
San Fran.
So you were saying, Joshy, that there was a thought that maybe the Steelers, as they try, because again, we are saying, like, look, everybody in the league seems to be trying to get that high level duo for pass catchers. Steelers just shipped one off. What will they do?
Yeah, this comes from our friend Justice Mosqueda from the Acme Packing Company. He put out basically that Romeo Doubs would be a perfect target for a team like the Steelers to go add somebody. It's an expiring contract. You don't really have to invest much in him. He's definitely not going to command as much money, even if you get into contract talks, as a George Pickens. So basically, it's just saying with where they are and acquiring a veteran QB, be it Kirk Cousins or Aaron Rodgers, a guy like Romeo Doubs with experience in the league, who you would imagine would be able to come up to speed quicker than a rookie, it would make sense to just take a flyer on him, on someone like Romeo Doubs. And, I mean, it would make sense with the Aaron. I don't know how long they get along.
Yeah.
But they at least have familiarity, and it's mutually beneficial for both. Because they're both mercenaries in this case. In the case that he gets traded to the Steelers, they both are looking, well, Aaron Rodgers is looking to get better, but Romeo Doubs is looking for a contract, so it behooves him to play really well.
Yeah, if Watson was healthy. I don't think you can do it if Watson's not going to play till
Mecole
November.
Hardman, bro.
You stop it right
really?
Now.
Deep really? Threat. Vertical, baby.
Well, I
deep threat, not to be confused with deep thought.
Deep thought.
R.I.P.
R.I.P.
Still a little sad today. Deep thoughts no longer in our fine city. But I think it would be hard to trade Romeo until you have a better idea. Like, that's a huge, it's a pretty big gamble that you're really confident mm-hmm. that Matthew Golden is going to be able to get up to speed and be really good after, what, 3 rookie minicamp practices?
Yeah, but you feel pretty good about Bo Melton in a come out and just be able to do what you need him to do situation. Like, the Packers have enough wide receivers. They would just not be a strong 1 through 5 without a Romeo Doubs.
Bo Melton versus Jacksonville. Yeah, I agree. Bo Melton versus Philadelphia. No, I don't agree.
Yeah, I think you just kind of pick and choose, though, because is the draft compensation going to be worth it, or is it going to be worth it to just let Romeo Doubs walk?
But what's interesting about that situation is, I think you also have to evaluate how Romeo is feeling mentally about the whole thing. After he wasn't happy with his role in the offense through how many ever games last year, when he was, you know, one of the guys playing the most, getting the most targets, and he was still upset with his role, so he ended up skipping practice and not showing up to work and being suspended for a game. How is he going to feel about somebody who was drafted specifically to eventually take his job?
I think he's got a better path to targets in Pittsburgh. He's got to compete with Calvin Austin.
He's a concussion away from sitting out the whole
season.
Thank
you. I think that's really important that when we talk about Romeo Doubs, you have to just keep considering the injury outlook. You can't ignore that might be hanging over his head.
Which, again, so you're getting, they've got a handful of 6th-round picks. Maybe you get a, conditional 6th for Romeo Doubs. Like, you would trade him just to basically clear the path and clear the way for Matthew Golden.
Yes.
Maybe. Would you do it?
Not for a 6.
Joshy's back there nodding.
No. Yeah. Wow. 6? What's a 6 going to get you? A tight end that...
tight end that went to Hooters after?
It could be a Rasheed Walker.
Thank
starter
you.
At left tackle.
I could have played left tackle.
I think the Packers run the risk of, if Romeo Doubs is there, as being a malcontent, and may it not the George Pickens style where it's loud and boisterous, but not competing, affecting the people around him in the wide receiver room. Like, we all know the Romeo Doubs experience is done after his contract's done. Like, that's written pretty much in ink at this point. So why not
try to get something for him?
Yeah. Why not just get some compensation? You feel fine with Golden, Savion Williams, add that to Jaden Reed, Dontavian Wicks, Christian Watson's coming back. You got Bull Melton. Like, there's, it's not the strongest of stable, but it's a stable. They're deep there.
That's like totally fine.
Okay, well, I mean, all right. Let's not confuse, hey, we've got a lot of bodies for we have depth.
Right, because that, to be honest with you, is what the Packers have been doing.
Yes.
By saying, look at all this depth we have. Oh, we're going to rewrite, so we're going to reinvent the wheel.
I'm on the right path.
Totally feels fine. Like... this episode better be called Totally Fine.
Yeah.
Kind of feels fine. Like... Pretty fine. Gabe's...
Oh, pretty fine.
Pretty Gabe fine.
It... It kind of feels like your line takes sex out of the marriage. That kind of what it felt like. A little bit, Joshy.
He's pretty fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Here's the thing, though. I don't think Romeo Doubs really even really elevates the floor for this. Like, how far down do you go without a Romeo Doubs? I don't know. I don't think it's considerable at all.
I think the challenge I'm facing is after Jaden Reed and with Christian Watson being out, he is, by default, your next best option. I'm taking Matthew Golden out of the mix because I assume that he is the number one. But hey, maybe you start getting major production from Tucker Kraft, like we all are hoping we will see as he continues to evolve as a player and a playmaker. Then maybe you are less reliant on Romeo Doubs.
Well, not just Real Tucker quick. Kraft, but also Luke Musgrave. If they're going to be going more two tight end sets, maybe having that type of depth isn't as important.
But real quick, where do you put him as far as tight ends in the NFC? I mean, Kittle,
I got to pull up a list.
Kittle, no. I still think the guy from Atlanta is really good. Just needs a quarterback. Hawkinson, Laporta.
Pitts? He loves Pitts.
Kyle Pitts. Laporta. Hawkinson. Oh,
and don't forget, again, I'm not going to project these guys to be better than the established players, but Tyler Warren from Penn State is now in the NFC, right?
Isn't he?
Colston Loveland. Oh, did he go to the Colts?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, Colston Loveland is
the other one.
Colston Loveland
is
the other guy, the Michigan
with the
kid,
Bears.
And he went to the Bears.
Yeah. I have a hard time figuring out how I should rank anybody below George Kittle. George Kittle I know is the best.
Yes.
And you can give a hat tip, a slight tier to Laporta just based on production, even though it's pretty close to Tucker Kraft's the past season.
Mm-hmm.
I think you probably would go, like, he's like in that mix for third or fourth, and it's probably personal
Hawkinson?
Preference. Yeah. I
and Tucker Kraft.
Yeah.
I'm just looking.
Is there anyone we're missing?
I'm literally just looking at Yahoo Sports Fantasy Football Rankings 2025.
Well, the kid from Arizona lit it up last year.
Oh, Trey McBride. He's definitely better.
Yeah,
he's the
Trey
second.
McBride.
Yeah, he's the second.
Oh, Trey McBride is on there. Yeah. You're right. Yeah. He's the second one behind Brock Bowers on this list. But again, we were talking NFC versus AFC.
Yeah, so he's the second best behind George Kittle, and then it's kind of just a mishmash of those other guys.
Leave it to the resident tight end to be like, y'all are forgetting about a tight end out in Arizona. That's like Chewy's wheelhouse.
I tried to forget Trey McBride because he cost me a lot of money betting on him to score touchdowns.
Oh,
you're so because you were stupid. You're blaming him.
No, I'm blaming it actually Kyler Murray. He can't see over the line. He missed them many times.
You want to know where Kyle Pitts ranks on this list?
Oh, he's got to be way down there.
I want Chewy to try to guess.
Which list is this?
I've got this is all of the tight ends projection for the 2025 fantasy football season.
Well, much like Joshy, it's because of the quarterback. It's actually not because of him. So I would say 13.
22.
Oh, 20.
Okay. Ooh.
He's number 20 on this list, Yahoo Sports.
Yeah, he had less than 500 yards last year.
Really?
After having the 1,000-yard season as a rookie, he has his production has dramatically fallen off.
His coaches all very much dislike him.
Mm.
Really?
Yes.
Why?
I don't think he does tight end things.
Like blocking?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Being where you need to be, that type of thing.
Excuse me, he did have 602 yards last year.
Hey, look at that.
All right, we got to take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Still a lot of stuff to get to as the show rolls on. We'll be right back.
It doesn't matter what age you are. Low testosterone can be an issue with any guy. It's where our friends at Mantality come in. I have been using Mantality for a number of years now, and I have not felt better because of their low testosterone treatments. I didn't even realize I was dealing with low testosterone. Had recently made the switch to the morning show versus doing the afternoon show. Tired, groggy, just thought, okay, getting a little bit older, waking up earlier. That's just part of the process. But it doesn't have to be like that. Mantality can take those symptoms, and if they're low testosterone, they can help you just like they helped me. So it's easy. Just go to the website, lowtusa.com. Mentality allows treatment, and it's a customizable treatment to fit into every guy's lifestyle. Learn more about Mentality and their low testosterone treatments at lowtusa.com.
You are listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Any of those things, because it it's like... I'm sorry, I'm burping up my apple right there. That's what that was. I wasn't pausing for effect. I literally was burping
my apple.
All right,
can we just go to break?
No.
On 94.5 ESPN.
The YouTube stream. Remember, you can always stream the show on YouTube. Just go to ESPN Milwaukee and watch all of our shenanigans on YouTube. John says, what makes a tight end great is how much they get incorporated into what a team offense does with them. Do they become a core part of the offense? And he also said, Tucker Kraft is just an above average tight end. We've been so used to poor tight end play that fans and talk show hosts are now overrating him.
Well, so I think that's hard to do. So Pete Doherty had a piece in the Journal Sentinel this morning that I was reading, kind of three post-draft takeaways. And his last one was Tucker Kraft drawing notice. In the lead up to the draft, I asked a high-ranking scout in the NFL to name the Packers' two best players on offense. He said, Josh Jacobs and Tucker Kraft. It's a sign that the NFL is taking notice of Kraft's ability to run after the catch as well as the effort he puts in to block it.
Okay, do I have to do it? Do I have to diagnose as a non-ball knower?
I mean, so usually when you diagnose, the only time you've diagnosed, it's a chronic
no,
case.
We don't have
ball.
A fatal case, but I mean, Chewy, give your... There's more there for the Tucker Kraft, isn't there? Like, there's more production potential?
Oh, yeah, sure. I think it's more that he's balanced. I mean, everyone loves Kelsey, but Kelsey isn't going to block an artery, you know? And he's just... I don't even know if I'd call him a tight end. He's just... He's a big receiver that's about all he does. Tucker Kraft, I mean, Tucker Kraft should get credit for Josh Jacobs' season last year.
Sure.
As well as the offensive line. You know, he's just a balanced tight end, which you don't see a lot of in today's game. And that's why I don't ever see him moving to a Kelsey type, just because it's not his game. You know, the thing I would like to see, even though he had, you know, a good number of catches, it's just I want to see that route that's Tucker Kraft over and over again, mm-hmm. and I didn't see that.
But that's more on play calling, right?
Exactly. That's not on Tucker Kraft. That's more – and I think LaFleur – figured it out because last year LaFleur thought this receiver group would take a big leap forward, and they didn't. So he was kind of stuck in the middle of the season going, God, I got to kind of pivot what I do here because these guys aren't getting any better. They're kind of stale.
But what's
and
great...
I don't think he was prepared to have Tucker Kraft be a bigger part of the offense.
Well, and what's great about Tucker Kraft, Chew, is a lot of times... Like you mentioned with some of these other tight ends like Travis Kelce, and the Chiefs aren't a team that runs the ball a ton to begin with. Mm-hmm. But like having Kraft on the field isn't a giveaway one way or another.
No.
Because
no.
he can do both. He can block and then he can get out and run and get the ball in his hands. Yeah. He can run after the catch.
Yeah, and I think they probably expected that Musgrave would be farther along as well. And I can tell you this, a team that's going to go to more two tight end sets is Chicago. Drafting Loveland mm-hmm. and having, who's their tight end there now from Notre Dame?
Cole Kmet.
You know, that's two pretty good tight ends. So it's such an advantage when you have two tight ends that can play because it puts the onus on the defense. Are you going to go small or are you going to go big? So what me and Keith did. You go big, we're going to throw it. You go small, we're going to run it.
And honestly, I kind of look at these guys similarly as you two, Chew, because with Tucker Kraft, that's more of the you guy, right? A little more blocking, yeah. But obviously you had your bread and butter plays and had all that. And Musgrave isn't as good of a blocker, still can from time to time, but he's more of the bigger, faster, like tight end option the way Keith was.
He's just got to polish his game a little more.
Oh, I mean, yes, because at that point with Keith, like he was at the end of a very productive NFL career.
Much like these receivers, like Devontae Wicks and Watson, and you guys think Dobbs is gone, and there's probably a pretty good chance, Musgrave might be gone too. If he doesn't get better and show that he can be a piece of this offense, he may not be around.
Yeah, I mean, well, he's got 2 years left on the deal, so they'll keep him around for both.
This is his third?
Yeah, so he'll be around for at least 2 years.
Yeah.
When it relates to Tucker Kraft, and I watch a lot of NFL football, certainly not every. How many guys do you know that can take a pass at the tight end position across the entire defense, run for 60 yards, and score a touchdown? That's not above average. That's a guy with a lot of talent, and I think we're pointing in the right direction. Did the Packers have any bread and butter pass plays to anybody last season? When was the last time they even, like, you could think of it?
Devontae.
Right. So, like, Tucker Kraft might be suffering from his circumstances more than he is from his talent or lack thereof, as some might believe. It seems like he's got everything to be, not exactly.
But that's not always, Joshy, that's not always Tucker Kraft. That could be the quarterback.
Correct.
Because there's things a quarterback doesn't do well, where Tucker Kraft may do it well, and for whatever reason, Jordan just doesn't feel comfortable doing it. So it's got to be a marriage when it comes to routes.
Although I do feel like the Jaden Reed jet sweep became pretty predictable.
Kind of went away, though,
Well, because it became predictable.
Kept failing, running on third and short.
Other teams were snuffing it out.
I mean, but you've also talked about Chu when it comes to that year two to year three jump. And Tucker Kraft didn't play a ton his rookie year until the injury forced him to play. And then, you know, we were all pleasantly surprised with how good he did in the second half of 2023 and continued to grow in 2024. That's why I think you can kind of sit here and go, all right, this guy's a year and a half, 2 years into his development, we like what we've seen. He's ready to kind of take off in year three.
Well, and I think you trust your eyes, Chu. Obviously, you have the most experience in this space than all of us, but you can also trust the numbers. Kraft was one of only two tight ends in the league, George Kittle being the other one, to post 50-plus receptions, 700-plus receiving yards, 7-plus receiving touchdowns, and an average of 14-plus yards per catch in the regular season. He averaged 9.1 yards after the catch per reception.
Is that good?
Yeah, that's really good.
Well, and how many of those guys also can run the quarterback sneak the way Tucker does?
Good point. It's just, you know, guys, they peak at different times. Like, I peaked at 26. That's when I was at my best. And play, you know that as a player. You're like, hey, you peak, and then you want to plateau as long as you can before you start going downhill. Right? So it's all dependent on – why are you laughing, Josh?
I've never thought about that before. You peak, and then you want to plateau as long as you can before you start going down.
Yes. Makes sense?
Oh, it makes sense. Yeah. I just assumed that there was peak, and then up and peak, and up and peak. But no, I mean, your point is get to your peak, hold on to it as long
as
you can.
Hold on for dear life. Also, I was laughing back here because your friend Ashton joined me back here. And I said, I like how Chewy answered my "Is that good?" with a yes response, like it wasn't sarcasm. Only one of two tight ends in the league to do that. I ask, "Is that good?" You said, "Yeah."
Well,
and
you didn't want to leave the question unanswered in case there was somebody out there that was confused.
Well, exactly. You never know how people are interpreting. Some people are half listening. Chew. That 9.1 yards after the catch was a second best single season mark by an NFL tight end dating back to 2000 when Kittle had 9.9 yards after the catch in 2018. Mm-hmm. So again, Joshy, ask your question. It feels like he is better than and above average tight end.
You're not worried of the fact that I'm coming back on Friday?
No.
See, I don't have that power over Josh. Now, Will,
and I can make him a little bit.
Well, yeah, I can make them both tinkle.
The last time that Chewy and Will interacted, Will got him maybe a little big for his britches.
I know. I can just laugh and smile, and then it'll diffuse, and you'll move on, and be like, "Yeah, we're just a couple guys taking jabs."
Oh, really? Oh, we'll see.
You'll see Chewy's jab and how much you like it.
Nothing like it. What could I put neat in it? Neat? Is it neat, Jen? Where he'd lose his beard?
Nair. Do you have any idea how many times we have had this exact
Why do I call it neat?
I have no
show.
Idea.
Is there a neat?
This
know alcohol with no ice is neat.
Conversation on Nair. This show. See, Ashton is back there going, I'm counting it on his fingers. He's like, at least three or four.
So there is a neat hair remover, lotion, foil, scent. Yes.
And Nair is nails, right?
There's neat and veet. Which
Veet
and Nair?
What's nails?
Veet, neat, and Nair.
What's the shoe the polish you take your paint off with?
Acetone. Neat, Viet, Nair? It sounds like you're speaking German.
Nein!
We got to take a break.
But, yeah, we do.
Babelfish, Jen, Gabe, and Chewy continues right after this. Stick around.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Here, you can just save yourself so much time by going, okay, we like this guy, this guy, this guy. Let's take a look at all the different things he did at the combine. I just hit my phone, and now my hand is just tingling.
What is with you two today? Jesus, do you know how to function?
I just like...
On 94.5 ESPN.
Conversation about the tight ends, the wide receivers, the pass catchers for your Green Bay Packers. And while we can sit here and nitpick about the star power that the Packers have on the roster right now, again, you just mentioned that somebody said that the top two players on the offense are Josh Jacobs and Tucker Kraft. No mention of the quarterback. The Packers, according to an article from J.R. Radcliffe in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, have played the most primetime games over the past 10 years. 55 ahead of the Cowboys. Is that right? No, 55 games.
Yes.
The Cowboys have 53, the Chiefs have 49, and the Eagles have 48. When you hear that, Chew, what does that make you think the league's perception of Green Bay is?
It's elite franchise like Yankees, Red Sox, Packers, Bears stink, so they're not going to get a lot of prime time. Dallas is a little surprising. I think just the fan base is so big that it's just, I don't know how to explain. It's a small town that really shouldn't have an NFL team that people just are drawn to, and it's a destination stadium. Which shows great on television. I just think small town America with an NFL franchise attracts a lot of viewers.
And the team's been good. Right?
Like that, that's first and foremost.
Yeah, but even after Aaron Rodgers moved on and Jordan Love start, they still had a ton of primetime games.
Because there are questions around Jordan Love and okay, can they showcase him? Because I remember like they're not putting bad teams on primetime this much. So first and foremost, the team is good, so there's a lot of Aaron Rodgers effect because for 8 years, Aaron Rodgers was the quarterback of the Green Bay Packers for this list. Because I remember, Chewy, when you guys first played on Monday Night Football in 1994, I want to say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, that was the first time the Packers had played on Monday Night Football in forever. And I remember my parents explaining to me, because at that time I didn't know any difference, like how big of a deal that was. Because the Packers didn't play on Monday Night Football all that often. And that was the showcase game for the NFL for the longest time. So if you're bad, you're not going to be on primetime that much over a 10-year span.
Who did we play? I remember we played the Bears on Monday Night Football
on Halloween.
And it was the worst weather I ever played. And there was literally 8,000 people in Soldier Field.
Oh,
and that was a Monday night game.
It was just brutal.
It was coming down sideways. Yeah,
just
it was
absolutely
really
brutal. You guys played Kansas City on Monday Night Football in 1993.
But that was in Kansas City, and
yes.
We lost.
Mm-hmm.
And
so,
I was hurt.
But that was the
yes.
first time like you guys had played
yes.
on Monday Night Football in forever.
So, Chew, we mentioned that they have had 55 primetime games. Mm-hmm. Any guesses as to what their record is in those games? Do you think Green Bay performs
going how
well?
How far back, Jen? You said 10 years?
Yes, it is
yeah,
a 10-year period.
Last year. Last
10 years? I would say 37 in math.
I'll say 45 and 10.
They no. 32 and 23.
Oh,
no. 58%. And what's interesting here is JR goes down to break down those numbers. At 58%, at a 58% winning percentage, they are way down the list. Baltimore has a 72% winning percentage in primetime games. Kansas City, 69. Buffalo, 63. Pittsburgh, 61. Philadelphia, 60. Detroit, 60. Dallas, 60. So that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 teams who have a better primetime record than the Green Bay Packers. What JR is trying to say in this is if you use this as a metric that they have that many primetime games, It leads him to believe, at least in this article, that they are the premier franchise in the NFL. But where it gets undermined is by that winning percentage, guys. Yeah, when you only win 58% of them, I think that there's a question.
They don't care about winning percentage. They care about ratings. And my guess is ratings are probably close to the top, if not the top. Right?
You are nailing it, Chu. That's the reason why the Cowboys are number two on that list. Because when the Cowboys play, America watches. When the Packers play, America watches. And as long as the Packers are a competitive team, they are going to be at the top of these lists.
Mm-hmm.
That's just the way it's going to be, because the fan base is pretty big, especially when they've been as successful as they've been over the last 30 years.
Chewy, if you had to guess the bottom three franchises as far as primetime games over the last 10 years, what would you guess the bottom three are? They have had the fewest primetime games over the last 10 years.
I would say Jacksonville.
Correct. They have 12.
I would say Arizona.
Arizona is up higher on the list. They have had 25.
Tennessee.
Tennessee, 24. You're getting warmer.
Wow. That's
Cleveland.
Cleveland is correct. They have 21.
And one more.
Between 21 and 12. One team.
Carolina Panthers.
There it is, Joshy.
Oh.
And sometimes I look over to see if Joshy cheated, but he didn't. He was making eye contact with me the whole time.
I was just thinking,
El Stinko.
What have they had?
Yeah.
Since they had Cam Newton.
Well, I was about to say, and that was why I was kind of hesitant, because they did go to a Super Bowl one time.
But it's been a long time.
I mean, that was long. That just fits in the decade, right? They did that in 2015.
Jacksonville with 12, Carolina with 18, Cleveland with 21. Round out the bottom of the list. We already told you what the top is. Green Bay 55, Dallas 53, Kansas City 49. And I imagine those Kansas City games have been within the last 4 years primarily, right? Like,
no. Mahomes has been quarterback longer than you think.
How long has he been the QB of the team?
I took over in Brady was still playing for the Patriots.
Yes, that's true.
They were also successful with Alex Smith. Remember, it was I can't believe they're doing this.
Oh, I had forgotten about that.
Yeah, they traded him and like just gave the reins over. So like they were pretty good before that. How do we feel that team success isn't really the only factor here? That there's some sort of mystique, be it Lambeau Field, be it just the Packers. Like, it's not totally merit-based that the Packers are...
Oh, correct.
Right.
Yeah. because Lambeau Field at night, you get to wax poetically about the history of the game. Yes.
Bring out a Vince Lombardi stand-in.
Yeah. That certainly is a part of it.
What the hell is going on out there? I will say this also, and you guys talked about this a little bit when we were having our chit-chat about this. There is something that these networks like about being able to do the drone shots, and you're droning over neighborhoods, and you're droning over cars being parked in the front lawns of homes, and then bloop, all of a sudden, an NFL stadium, right? And all the lights and all. There is something very cinematic about that scene. And so I think that is part of why these networks are like, anytime we can get up to Lambeau Field, you know, and obviously it's a big reason why the draft was there. The reason this comes out, of course, is because the NFL schedule is going to be released any day now, May 14th. And my goodness, kudos, bravo, whatever you want to say, begrudgingly, that the NFL has somehow made schedule release day a flipping holiday on the league calendar. Like, that's just wild to me.
It's still a distant one, but it's still one that people take note of. They do special programming around. I mean, at this point...
We've done special programming around.
At this point, I think they could sell anything.
What do you think that Green Bay is going to do for the schedule release? And will you be underwhelmed as you have been in previous years?
Yes.
It'll be safe. Try to be funny. Not that funny. Nailed it. Signed, sealed, delivered.
It's like me on the show.
We could probably record a segment after the show and just play it back after the schedule release. Next Thursday, after the schedule comes out and the Packers social media video comes out, I think we could probably nail about 85% of what it's going
to
be.
Reaction to how they decided to roll it out. Yes, of course, we don't have the schedule in front of us. We have a lot of the games.
I'm just talking about, the reaction of, was this video good or not? I think Joshy just nailed it.
Which AFC, who are they playing in the AFC?
The North, right?
Yes.
Because that's why we're playing the Steelers.
Mm-hmm.
That's not good. That's not good, Bob. I'd
rather play the South.
Yeah, the Browns are in there.
The Browns, Bengals aren't actually that good.
They're good, Gabe. Stop it.
So good teams miss the playoffs now? Is that where we're
no
doing?
No one wanted to play them. If you watch TV at the end of the year, the Bengals needed a little help, and no one wanted to play the Bengals.
If this show was transplanted and put in Cincy, you would blast that team nonstop.
I blast everyone.
Fair. Point two.
Speaking of blast, we need to take a break.
That's exactly right. We've enjoyed having Professional Construction Inc. help us with our home projects. As you might know, my husband and I, not the most handy people. We can handle these tiny things like painting a mailbox, if you will. But for the big stuff, the important stuff, we always call our friends over at PCI. It's a family-owned company. They believe in building relationships and doing exceptional work on your projects. Like our siding when the woodpecker was drilling holes in it. Like our basement when we needed it to be completely redone because we have a teenager who needed space. Like our balcony that was leaking into our kitchen, they came out, took care of it for us, and I tell everyone, if you need any home improvements done, PCI are your people. Learn more about PCI and see their work at ProfessionalConstructionInc.com. That's ProfessionalConstructionInc.com.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Come on, guys, let's think about this. Could you do 50 straight days of burgers?
That was very condescending.
Let's put our heads together.
Again, I have children. I know condescending when I hear it.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Looking for a home can be a lot of things. Stressful, time-consuming, and expensive, but looking for a home should actually be so exciting. The We Sell Group at Keller Williams knows this. Their passion is people. And now that my family and I are looking for a lake house to enjoy Wisconsin summers even more, I have felt their passion during the process. They're knowledgeable about the area. They are approachable. And guys, unprecedented availability. If I find a house and I'm like, hey, I can't get up there, they are willing to go and see it for us, FaceTime us from the location. They will take care of all of those things for you as well. The home buying process should be fun and exciting, and Rob and Nick will help every step of the way. Make sure that you talk to my friends over at the We Sell Group, wesell.kw.com. That's wesell.kw.com. What a fun day we had here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, huh? Chew? Say hi to your friends at the gym for me. Actually, they probably heard me say that, so you don't have to.
Are you going to talk to him? Are you going to go up and talk to the guy?
He's got to come to me because it's cardio day. I won't be floating. I'll be stationary on a bike.
All these rules.
I know. I'm an idiot.
I feel like that's a general rule for Chew anyway. You got to go up to him. He's not coming up to you and talking.
I can't wait for Chew to be back here in studio next week. Wildy and Tosh is next on ESPN Milwaukee. Have a great day, everybody.